If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode and the entire season are proudly brought to you by Pregnant Together. Pregnant Together is a virtual community for solo folks, queer folks, and anyone who's ever felt outside the box when it comes to creating your family. It's run by queer midwife Maria Goodman, and the community offers tons of resources from trying to conceive to parenting and many things in between. Best of all, listeners of the Queer Family Podcast get their first month for free, y'all. So go check it out. You're just going to go to www.pregnanttogether.com/QFP-discount. That's Q for queer, F for family, and P for podcast-discount. It's in the show notes as well. Check it out. Enjoy the community.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
It's such a straight story, but it's not. Like, that's that you got a baby the straight way, but yeah. The whole time you were living that gay life.
The free way. Then cost is a thing.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. And you, my friends, are tuning into this show who highlights, uplifts, celebrates, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And this episode does not disappoint, as you can probably imagine. But before I introduce my guests, I have to say a huge shout out to our newest Patreon members. A huge, huge, huge thank you to Mariah Segura. Mariah, you rock. You rock my world. Thank you so much. And Polina Fokina. Ooh, Polina Fokina. I want to say that like all the time. Polina Fokina. How do you not say your name all the time, Polina Fokina? That is so cool. I'm probably saying it wrong. I apologize if I said it wrong, but that's a cool name. Thank you so much. And if you want to join my Patreon community, you can do just that. Just go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast, pick a tier, and support this here little show who is all about representation. And we could always use a little more representation in the world. Am I right? Can I get an amen? Amen. That was me. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm alone in here. Y'all, I have one more thing to let you know. The Queer Family Podcast has won two more awards, y'all. Two awards. We are recipients of the Communicator Awards. We won an award of excellence for causes and awareness and an award of distinction in storytelling. Now, this is an invite-only award. So you have to be invited to even be entered into this award. And we won two of them, y'all. What? So the award of excellence, it's their highest honor. What? And it's given to those entrants whose ability to communicate positions them as the best in the field. Well, thank you so much. The best. The truth is I'm really kind of like the only one in the field, but I'll take it. And the award of distinction is presented to projects that exceed industry standards in quality and achievement. We did it again. There's going to be more awards on my shelf back here. I'm going to have to get a bigger shelf. My wife is going to kill me. This is our bedroom, but it's also my award display office. Oh my God. Thank you, Communicator Awards. And thank you everyone who continues to tune in and the Patreoners who continue to support me and help me make this show possible. Mwah, I love you. All right. The guests, y'all, y'all. All right. Tish and Arlesia. I had the pleasure of sitting down with them and hearing their story. Now, you all know that I do my best to not know anybody's story until I am sitting down with them. So I'm hearing basically while you're hearing what their story is. And I was not expecting the twists and turns that came out in this. Listen, y'all, if you have tea, you better grab it because we're going to get some tea here. I'm not even kidding. Pull your cups up or your cocktails because we're going on a ride, a beautiful ride at that. So you know how I'm always saying that, you know, there are no accidents in queer family building. Well, actually, there are a couple sometimes. Well, this is one of the sometimes. And that's all I'm going to say. This one goes twisty, turny, all over the place, and it is a good one. So tune in. And what stuck out the most for me with Tish and Arlesia, they've been through it. They've been through some stuff, okay? And their bond is so strong because of it. And it's just a beautiful testament to our love and our families. And that's that. That's all I'm going to say. Before I roll the tape, I do want to tell you a little quick story that's been happening in the home life. So if you watch me on social media at the Queer Family Podcast across all channels, you would have seen recently that I shared a video about the fact that my 6-year-old son, who's had long hair forever, decided he wanted to cut his hair. And so we were going that day to cut his hair. I put up a little video about it. I really didn't think it was going to get as much attention as it did. So I appreciate all the kind words you said and all the things. And it was a really big deal for us because he's our little boy with long hair and he loved his hair and we loved his hair. And so this is a big change and he really wanted to do it, but he was also really scared to do it. He thought it was going to hurt. And he also was afraid, quote unquote, he wasn't going to look like himself anymore, which breaks your heart. But one of the catalysts for him wanting to get that cut is he gets misgendered a lot when he's out in the world and he doesn't want to be identified as a girl. He very much identifies as a boy and he wants to be seen as such. And so that was one of the reasons he wanted to get his hair cut. He wanted to look more like a boy. And this is his wording. This is what he said. And he did get some teasing at school, some, just a little. But I just want to point out, anyway, it went well. He loves his hair. It was a little touch and go for a second. He didn't seem happy. We thought we had made a huge freaking mistake. We had a lot of parent mom guilt. It was a lot. But he finally saw himself, finally, after a long walk home. And he had been crying. And we thought we ruined our little boy's life. And what are we doing? These two lesbians who are now just making our son cut us. It was like it was a lot. We went through a lot, as you can imagine. And all of a sudden he walked by a storefront and he stopped and he looked at his reflection. He goes, "Mom, I look really good." "Actually, I look good." And I was like, "I know." He said, "I look like a boy." I said, "Yeah, is that good?" He said, "Yes." And then I said, I can't wait for your friends to see it. I bet they're going to like it." He said, "You know what? I think this is the best haircut anyone's ever gotten." So we won in the end and it worked out and he's very happy and he looks adorable still and it's all great. And he feels like himself, which is the most important thing. But from my little video, what a lot of people picked up on was when I said the thing about him being teased a little bit in school. Now, I just want to clarify, he was not being bullied. I don't throw the word bully around lightly. He had been teased a little bit. here and there. And it did seem to, it was starting to bother him, but he is not bullied. And I don't want to call any of these little first grade children bullies right now, because none of them are being bullies. And I do want to clarify that, just because I don't throw that around lightly. And I don't want to call anyone, especially right now, a bully, because we're not there yet. If we get there, I'll be the first to let you know, and I'll be the first to speak up. But I protect my son like a mama bear, and he's not being bullied. He was just being teased a little bit, and he was tired of being misgendered out in the world. So I just wanted to clear that up. Okay, I have yammered on way too long. This has been a very long intro, but it's because we're award winners. I'm just kidding. All right, it's time. Tish and Arlesia's story. Get your tea, because we're going on a ride. All right, Helen, Beulah, Nicole, get ready. Roll that tape.
Queer Family Podcast, Love is Love.
Hi, Tish and Arlesia.
Hi.
Oh, I love it. I'm very excited to talk to you two about your life and your family. You know what? Let's just get right into it. Give me and the listeners your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad, and I can't wait to hear it. Are you ready?
We're ready.
On your marks. Get set. Go.
We are the Whitakers, and we exist as the Whitakers. We thrive as the Whitakers, but we are individuals. We're both entrepreneurs. We're both parents to a wonderful 16-year-old, and we just love our community. We love the difference in our community. We love how unique our community is. We love just being a part of the community, showing up for our community in any way that we can. Most importantly, we're humans at the end of the day.
Arlesia, you did great, and you got it in 30 seconds, so good job. I feel like you were even like drawing it out to make it like an exact 30 seconds, so you get points for that right there. These two are Meet the Whitakers online, so go check them out there. They're beautiful. They put beautiful pictures up, and they have a beautiful backdrop if you're watching the video right now. Can we please take it back to young Arlesia and Tish meeting?
I actually was dating her best friend.
Uh-oh.
Current, uh-oh. Still current best friend to this day.
Yes. For like a week, though.
Yeah. It was a week. It really was a week. That we were just talking or whatever. But we met each other in the gospel choir at Delaware State University and just pretty much became friends. She thought I was like a player.
I did.
She thought I had a lot of girlfriends.
She was a drummer for the gospel choir.
Because yeah, I play drums. So.
Ooh, fun.
We pretty much spent a lot of time, 2 years, just like being friends. I had just gotten out of a 5-year relationship and I wasn't ready to get in another relationship. And I didn't want to be in a relationship with her so quickly because I didn't want it to be a rebound relationship. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be completely over my relationship that I was in for 5 years before we were together. I didn't think that would have been fair to her or mess up our friendship. So the most important thing was our friendship first. But yeah, so on my graduation day is when we got together, which was May 19, 2002.
Yes. So okay. It was like to be specific for anybody that's listening from Del State, it was actually right in front of Delaware Hall. And she was like, so do you want to be my girlfriend? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, ever since, huh?
Ever since.
Wow. Since college. That is like, whew, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
We're like the same generation, y'all, because I graduated college in 2000. And it was a different time back then.
Oh, right? My God.
Right. Because it was a totally different time back then. Being gay in the 90s was very different. And the early aughts, I'll say, was very different. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that we necessarily had to come out during that time. I think it was kind of, at that time, it was like unspoken. Like, you just kind of knew, and your crew was kind of in the same life as you, in the same lifestyle and the same flow. So you kind of hung around a lot of the same people that understood who you were. And for us, because we went to Delaware State, we were right there close to Philly, New Jersey, and New York. So it was easy for us to kind of mingle with a lot of people that were similar to us. Like, we did all the Pride events back then because we were young. So Pride in New York was a thing. Pride in DC was a thing.
We had a pretty tight village, which is crazy when I look back on it at that time. A lot of people that we hung around, they were already couples too, but they went to Delft State as well. we were the ones who kind of lived off campus. We had our own apartment.
Yeah.
So we would have what we still call to this day, we would have gatherings. Just like I have our friends come over. My wife would cook. And, you know, we would send them home with food and, you know, make sure they were taken care of. Even though we were almost kind of like the same age, same age bracket. We would always make sure they came over, had a good meal, you know, and we kind of like kept it tight to where everybody kind of like had a comfort zone. Like I told her, we call our house Switzerland, because once you come here, anyone who doesn't like each other, we don't care if you don't like each other outside of this house. Yeah. When you come to this house,
it's peace.
It's peace.
Peace.
So,
I love that.
Yeah. So this is Switzerland when you come here. That's the name of our house, Switzerland. We going to Switzerland to hang out for a little while.
All right. So like I'm thinking back to my college and I went to musical theater school. So it was a lot of gay guys, but very few lesbians, like none in 1996 to 2000.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a different experience than y'all. It sounds like you had like a whole crew.
Yes. It was more ladies than men.
It was
pretty amazing. That is so amazing. Okay. So but what about your families? Like, were you out to your families? Were you out before you went to college? Like, what's that story?
We came out to our moms. My mom kind of knew a little bit. My girlfriend before my wife, she found like a notebook I had that I was writing. I think I wrote a letter or just about my experience with sleeping with my first girlfriend and how it was and all this other stuff. And so my mom, I would journal all the time.
Yeah.
So my mom found the journal and she came to me. She was like, she had it in her hand. She was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "What do you mean? What is it?" And she was like, "What is this? What is this that you wrote about?" And so I kind of flipped it on her. I was like, "You went through my stuff?"
Wow. Good for you. I would have been, oh my God. That is like, oh, worst nightmare. Oh my God.
It was.
Oh God. How old were you?
Probably 18. So at that point, I just kind of moved out. I was still with my first girlfriend when I moved out. So then when I really, really, really told her that this is the lifestyle I wanted to live, this is who I was, Tish and I were together at that point. And we made a conscious decision that we were going to tell our moms and that was it, because we knew we wanted to be together. So once I told my mom, at that point, my mom was like, "Okay, you know, I'm still going to love you regardless." You know, she kind of was like, "Well, you know what the Bible says, but I'm still going to love you regardless." And then I felt like I didn't have to come out to anyone else, number one, because my mom was going to tell everybody anyway. So I was like, once my mom knew, no one else mattered.
Wait, so at 18, your mother finds this journal. She confronts you. You turned it on her. And then the conversation kind of stopped.
Yeah, the conversation kind of shifted and stopped. And we never talked about it again up until
a while later, right?
Maybe about 3 years, 3 or 4 years later.
When you got with me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. And it sounds like religion was a big part of your life.
Yes. It's a big part of both of our lives. Much more for my wife, but my mom mentioned it. And it's not like my mom is a huge, just how she grew up and what she was accustomed to. So that to her, that was the first thing that she knew to say was, "Well, you know, in the Bible." But then it was just like, "But I'm going to love you regardless." There was no extra bashing or anything like that. So it made me feel more comfortable. Once I came out to my mom, I really didn't care about what everyone else thought. I felt like once my mom knew, then, you know, if you thought it, then, oh, well, I'll deal with it as I go.
Right. You just do your thing. I love that. And I love that your mom came around and was like, "I love you no matter what." That's cool. And that's a journey right there. That's a journey. Yeah. And then, okay, how about you, Leticia?
Me and my mom kind of had an argument before I left to go to college. My mom was very protective of me because I've been playing drums since I was two. So I've been playing and playing different places. And I've been doing this for years, like years. So I was always around different musicians and guys that would like me and things of that nature. So when guys would try to talk to me, my mom would be very protective of that.
Uh-huh.
And so I told her one day, if you didn't let me talk to guys, I'm going to talk to girls. I already knew I liked girls, but that was my reverse way of already putting her on track of where I was going. So,
and you put it on her too. Like, well, listen, it's your fault anyway. So if you have feelings, that's on you.
Yeah, because, you know, like at an early age, like I stopped getting whoopings at 7 years old because I told my mom I just made a plan to stop getting beaten. So that plan was effective. Oh. So I figured if that plan was effective. So at a young age, I already knew that that was like a manipulation. It's just like, you can't confine me. Whether I like men or women, the overprotective has to stop in some way. So yeah, it was that type of conversation with me and my mom. I just kind of like said, if you didn't let me talk to guys, I would talk to girls. There was a lot of girls that liked me in high school, but it was never entertained. I was more or less focused on school and music. So when I got to college, I had my first girlfriend who was the director of the gospel choir. She was the choir director. There was really nobody that I needed to tell. I just kind of like lived my life and did my thing. I didn't feel like I needed to explain anything to anybody. It was like, if you're unhappy, then be unhappy. But I'm over here living happy. So.
Yeah, you just showed up as Tish and take it or leave it. This is who I am. I love that.
I didn't feel a need to explain it because I had already been in rooms with people who were lying about themselves that were in the choir and outside of the choir. So my perspective was completely different. Like, I don't feel the need to explain anything to anybody about what I choose to do. Mm-hmm. If you see it, you're going to see it. If you accept it, you accept it. And I just got to take all the ridicule that will come with it. But that's kind of like how my story kind of went. Yeah.
Wow. Seems like y'all were just pretty like confident in I'm me. I'm going to be me. And that's refreshing to hear.
But you know what's crazy is it does come with a relationship with God, not a religion, but with God. Because everybody has their own relationship with God, not the religion of what they feel as though God is, but their relationship. I got to a point at an early age, and when me and my wife got together, I told her, I said, I don't believe I serve a God that wants me to be unhappy. What kind of God says that he loves you, but confines you to someone that you're not happy with for the duration of your life? I said, nobody can make me believe that in this world. When you tell me, he's love, he's kindness, and all of these good things, but then he wants you unhappy too? And he wants you to be with somebody that you're not happy with? That doesn't describe love to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when he spoke to me, that's when I was just like, I'm not making any decisions for anyone else, but I know what he told me and that's the walk I'm going to walk in. So that's pretty much how it goes.
That's beautiful. And I love that. I wasn't raised with religion, right? So I have my own sense of spirituality and I made it all up, you know, but I think that not everybody comes to the realization that you did, Tish. And finds it so wholeheartedly and with so much strength. And I think that's absolutely beautiful.
Especially if you grew up in church, you're so used to seeing the religion and the people in the religion that you don't realize that there is something bigger than the religion. It is about your relationship. There's something much bigger than the people in the church. And that's where a lot of people have that struggle because they are so caught with what people say as opposed to what your heart says, what your true self tells you. And my wife, like she said, her true self told her, there's no way that I serve anything, any God that wants me to be unhappy. That's impossible.
Yeah, I get it. 100%. I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, so let's move forward here. So you're finally together. You graduated. Moms know. Right? And that's what matters. When did the conversation about family come into the picture? And I'm imagining pretty early because with our queer families, we have to figure out what we're going to do. If we want kids, some stuff needs to be figured out, unless it happens a different way, which happens in our families as well. But let's talk about that. Can we go down that path, please?
Absolutely. So this is where our story gets very juicy and very much different.
Uh-oh. I told y'all at home, I like to be...
Grab the tea, okay?
Uh-oh. I got my mug right here. Okay, here we go.
So we started actually talking about having kids probably kind of early.
The fourth year of our relationship.
Yeah, like the fourth year of our relationship, we knew that we wanted a kid.
A boy.
Interesting.
A girl. But we got a boy.
We got a boy.
at such a young age, we didn't really know exactly all of the steps to go through, especially early 2000s. You don't, I mean, you're not thinking about, yeah.
And it's expensive too, right? Yeah, exactly.
Freshly graduating from college.
And there were no resources. I mean, there's still very few resources.
That's true.
Even, you know, 20 years ago, forget it. There's no map.
Right. And I think the most internet we had was dial-up and Black Planet. So
seriously.
So there literally wasn't anything that, you know, we knew to know about how to start this. So coincidentally, I had a boss that offered his sperm, but my wife was like, no, because he likes you. And honestly, my wife and I would have like a lot of conversations about how my supervisor liked me, and we would have arguments. Because I was like, no, he's just a friend. He doesn't like me. There's no possible way. Because I've always been cool with guys. So I was like, you know, we're just cool. I'm just kicking it. It's nothing more. Fast forward a little bit. And I had a business trip to California. We'll just sum it up. I got high, a little bit drunk. He invited me to his room. We end up having sex. And I end up getting pregnant.
What? What the? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, 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 okay. Listen, I have to say, that must have been a dude. Like, we're going to get into it. And, oh, that must have been tough. But also, like, how serendipitous.
Yes.
Right? But yes. Keep talking. Let's go into this.
So my wife and I have been having like problems on and off in our relationship. We were early on and we were still very, very young. So a lot of things we were still trying to figure out. We were still trying to navigate life. My wife wanted to pursue her music career full time. I was working to support us. So a lot of times we were just bumping heads on a lot of things. And the night that it happened, we had had a really bad argument. And so me being so young-minded, I'm like, fuck it, you know. My intention was to go. We were supposed to smoke. The guy and I was supposed to smoke. Mm-hmm. And a couple other people were supposed to come over. When I got there, he was like, oh, so-and-so's not coming down now. It's just going to be me and you. And so I was like, okay, whatever. So we're smoking. We had already drank earlier that day. So we're smoking. Things led to another. And I'm like confessing my soul, like about my girlfriend and just all the things that we're experiencing and going through. And I'm thinking like, you know, he's listening. This guy's really caring. Like, I'm just laying it all out like a dumbass. But like
not like a dumbass.
I mean, at the time.
Right? You know, you're trusting this person.
Right.
I wouldn't call you a dumbass for that.
And so one thing led to another. And like I said, we ended up having sex. And rewind a little bit. My wife had actually had a dream, like, well and before that happened, that I was getting out the car. We both were getting out a white truck with a little boy, a little baby boy that actually was ours. Uh-huh. And so my wife didn't know what this dream was about. It was just a dream. We had ended up moving to Georgia.
Yeah, the plan was, not to cut you off, baby.
No, you're okay.
We had already made plans to move to Georgia because I wanted to pursue my musical career. So her purpose of going to California was just like, okay, this is extra money that we can get from this job that I have to do in California. So I was like, okay, while she's in California, I'm packing up our house and getting our house all packed up so that when she comes back, all we have to do is just move. That was going on in California while I was packing up the house. But then when she got back, you know, I kind of like knew something had happened because she was just kind of distant a little bit, like emotionally distant. And I asked her, like, a lot of times, I was like, you know, like, what's going on? You know, and she wouldn't tell me anything.
We moved to Georgia, and I would say about 2 to 3 weeks, I ended up getting a new job in Georgia. And then we were up one night, up, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I eventually just went ahead and told her. I was like, you know, yes, I did cheat on you. Yes, it happened. And at this time, I didn't even know I was pregnant. She was dealing with it, and I felt so guilty on the inside about not being honest and not being truthful about what happened. And so I was just like, you know, yes, I did cheat on you, you know, and we pretty much talked about it like any other lesbian couple would talk about it. There were tears, there was yelling, there was a lot going on. And so then almost 2 weeks later, I didn't come on my cycle, and my cycle is very, very regular. Yeah. So I was like, what the fuck? Like, oh my God, this cannot be happening.
Wait a second. Before we get into you realizing, Tish, like what, like, how was it for you when you found this out?
There was a lot of mixed emotions because when we got to Georgia, we were getting everything, just preparing for just to enjoy life in Georgia. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. But we were arguing before we even moved to Georgia about her possibly sleeping with him. Because again, it was already sitting in my spirit that I
you had
that
was already something going on. Foreshadowed this, like it was.
Yeah,
like-
I don't know what, but I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep, and the night that she told me, well, the morning, it was about maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up. Prior to that day, we were arguing, like to the point where she was just like, "I'm going to leave you if you keep disrespecting me, saying that I did this and I didn't do it." So I called my best friend and I was like, "Oh my God, I think I need to see a therapist." I was like, "Because I don't want to be accusing her of something." Mm-hmm. And it's me, because I'm just so adamant about saying that it happened and it didn't happen. I was like, "And I don't want to disrespect her or for her to leave me." That night, going into that morning, like I said, about 3 or 4 in that morning, I sat up by the side of the bed and I was just sitting there. And normally, like, she knows how my spirit is. Like, I'm not going to lie, she does. If I move or if something is going on with me, even if it's not about us, she knows, like, she'll get up with me. Mm-hmm. So I got up and I sat on the side of the bed. I said, I don't want to argue. I don't want that. I just want peace. I was like, but I just can't sleep. I just can't sleep because it's just in my spirit and I just can't sleep. Mm-hmm. I said, just tell me if it's something, like it, whatever it is. I just want to know if it's what the truth is. So she did tell me, and she was really apologetic. You know, I think it was more or less of her being embarrassed. And then it was just probably a bunch of emotions. I can't really name all the emotions that she was probably feeling at the time. So again, like she said, we cried, we argued through it to the next morning. Then maybe about 2 weeks later, well, we had just moved to Georgia and it was just her and I. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, we're not moving back to Maryland right now. Like we just moved here. We're in our new apartment and we got to figure it out. We're going to have to work it out and figure it out. I already felt like even then, people do make mistakes. This is a mistake you made. If you want to be with me, then we're going to work it out and we're going to be together. But you have to tell me everything. Like, it can't be any more secrets about anything. So she agreed to that. And then about 2 weeks later, she was at work, I think, and you still hadn't gotten your cycle. So she took a pregnancy test at work.
I came home.
She didn't even call me. She came home from work early. And I was like, you know, like, why are you home early? And she was just like, you know, I took a pregnancy test and I may be pregnant. And so I was like, no, we're going to go to the doctor and the doctor is going to tell us, I'm not going to believe any pregnancy test. I don't care how many you take. So we ended up going to the doctor.
Oh, God. I'm having so many feelings. I am having so many feelings. Just like, I can't imagine being the two of you during this.
And it plays so clearly in my mind because the days of it happening was just like, it's every day something is gone. So it's like the story now of part of our journey in life. You know what I'm saying? So when we get to talk about it again, it doesn't even affect us nowhere nearly as it did a good 10 years ago.
Of course.
So the doctor confirmed when we went to the doctor that she was pregnant. And I was just like, okay, from that point on, I said, because I smoke. I said, I don't want to smoke around you. I just want us to have a healthy child. I said, that's our main focus, for us to have a healthy child. I said, okay. I'm not going to leave. I said, because I wouldn't want anybody to leave me in a situation like that. And again, we had just moved to Georgia. I was like, I'm not going to leave you alone and to do this by yourself. So I went to all of the birthing sessions, all of the doctor's visits. I was there when he was born. I cut the umbilical cord and I've been here since Ethan has been born, and I've taken care of him from the time he's come out of his mother's womb up until this current day that we live in. I wouldn't change anything about being a part of Ethan's life because there's a purpose for me being a part of his life and a purpose for him being here. He's the I can't even describe how great this kid is. He's a great kid. He plays soccer. He gets good grades. He pretty much makes the honor roll every year. He's so nonchalant about his achievements.
I just love this. And I want to dig into so much more, but I love the way, Tish, you just described your son, right? And like you're his other mother. You're both his moms.
I'm his Yaya. That's what he calls
you're
me.
His Yaya. I love that.
He named me Yaya.
Oh, that's beautiful. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Coming up this season on Two Lives.
I've wasted too many years of my life focusing on what's wrong with me. What I have learned through this is that I am enough. Damn it, I'm good enough.
It was tough to disappoint my mother. It was tough to watch my father feel like he failed. That was hard. So, yeah, I turned my life around in prison.
It actually was very comforting to know I'm not a bad person trying to get good. I was a sick person trying to get well.
All that and more in season 9 of Two Lives.
Love is love.
I was just touting how beautiful it is, the way you just spoke about your son. First of all, that's just beautiful. And it's a testament to our families. And I say it all the time, how freaking beautiful we are and how we show up in the world. And
yeah.
And this little boy was clearly meant to come to you. But I know there's so much more to this story because you just found out. And Tish, you said, we're going to stay together. And I'm assuming, or Alicia, you were like, that this was a good thing for you. Like, how did you get through all of this? Because what happened here? How did this all work out?
When she said that she was going to stay with me, my mind instantly was like, okay, well, then I need to not associate with him, not talk to him. I'm not even going to tell him that I'm pregnant. So The whole 9 months, because I wanted to be in a space of this baby matters. This is all that matters. Nothing else matters. He is the most important thing right now to make sure that he's healthy, he's happy. None of us can be unhappy. We have to be in a happy space. And so instantly, it was like a light switch. We instantly moved into
focusing on Ethan.
Yeah, he's the one that matters. So once that happened, I didn't say anything to him about being pregnant the whole time I was pregnant. I didn't tell him Ethan existed until Ethan was almost 2 years old. Mm-hmm. So there was no conversation. He didn't know anything about Ethan. When I finally told him about Ethan, my question to him was, do you want to give up your rights? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, basically, you said that you would be a donor to us. So can you give up your rights? And He was like, no, I don't want to give up my rights. Mm-hmm. And so I was still battling a lot with postpartum and not knowing what it looked like, what it appeared as. So I didn't realize this. So instantly my mind went to, he's going to try to take our child.
I was going to say, this must have been so very scary.
Yes. And so once he said he didn't want to give up his rights, I immediately felt like, okay, well, I have to do all that I can to make sure that he doesn't take our child. Mm. And that meant that I needed to have a conversation, keep talking to him, keep making him feel like he was important.
Not telling me, though.
And not telling my wife.
She wasn't telling me that this was happening.
Oh, good. I need more tea. This is full of feelings, y'all. Oh, my God.
He would text to so-called check in on Ethan. Uh-huh. And so the text messages started out that way. And I would be like, he's good. He's doing this or he's doing that. And then the text messages started to turn into more or less, he was more interested in finding out about me as opposed to finding out about Ethan.
He's married.
And so he is married. I forgot to add that. And he was married this whole time.
Oh, but are you kidding me?
I thought that was important.
Tish was like, he's married. The plot thickens.
Yes. Okay.
And when you told him, it sounds like he was like, I mean, obviously it was a shock, right? But it sounds like he was kind of like agreeable to, like, okay, all right, so there's a baby. Like,
yep.
Wow. Okay. And then it started getting a little more sexy. Like,
yeah. So he would text me. He would text me like, good morning, sunshine. How are you doing today? And it would just be different.
Inappropriate.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Inappropriate text messages. And I would respond back because my fear was if I don't entertain this, he's going to take our son. He's going to try something to take our son. And so I felt like I had to keep entertaining him as much as I could.
Ooh, you're holding on to so much here. You were holding on to so much.
But I found out in a different way. Remember, I found out from we had just moved back.
Right. We had moved DC. Back to Maryland.
We moved back and we were living in DC. I was looking for some change in her bag because she always just drops change in her bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So I happened to be going through one of her bags, her big bags that she just drops things in. And I end up lifting up things out the bag. And right at the bottom of the bag was like literally laying flat a Western Union slip in the bag. It was just like literally in the bottom of the bag. And I was on the phone with my friend and I was just like, I can't believe this. I was like, she's getting money from him. She didn't say anything to me about it. And so she was just like, you know, her response was, I just thought that if, you know, he was sending it, you know, it wouldn't matter if we was putting everything in the same account. And I was like, that's, but you still have to tell me that that's happening. But as far as the text messages, I found out about the text messages. We were in church. A friend of mine does music for like the DMV. He's well known. So we were at his release party at a church and her phone was sitting in the chair. So I happened to see the text message come through, and I opened up the phone and I saw the text message, and it was like pretty much like sunshine or something he said that was kind of like they were in a relationship.
Oh.
And so we couldn't talk about it then because the church is packed. I mean, we have celebrities and all these people are there. Yeah. So we had to literally wait. Now, mind you, my son is with us. He's sitting in the chair with us. So all of this is transpiring. Like, I mean, there's Kim Burrell there. There's so many different gospel artists
there. Oh, my God.
So we had to wait. So we got back to the house and, you know, we pretty much talked about that. We argued about it. It was more or less of just when is the honesty going to kick in?
Right.
It's like, how much more can I do to show you that I'm here?
Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm here with you to build this thing with you, but you got to be honest. Like, you can't, like, this is not, you just went to the store and then you decide to stay out all night. No, we're at a different level of our relationship now. Like, we're raising a child together, and there's so many different parts of how he already came in. We still have to get to the point where, you know, we have to explain it to him when he gets older. So we need to make sure that we're solid.
Yeah.
Before we can even talk to him about what's going on. So we ended up working through it. Just honestly, I don't really know how me and Alicia have worked through a lot of things with that. We just kind of like took it day by day, and the days just started going by to where that pain kind of went away.
Ugh. You know what I mean? Once she found out about the money, the text messages, at that point, I kind of felt like I'm just going to take a risk and I'm just going to cut him off in all ways that I know how, except for I'm going to give him, because my wife has always been adamant about, no, he needs, if he wants to have a relationship with him, he can. She didn't want Ethan not to know who his father was.
Right.
And so for me, the type of person I am, like, if I'm done and I don't want anything to do with you, I completely wanted to cut him off because I got to the point where I felt like he was using Ethan to still try to get to me. And I just didn't like that. Like, I was just like, Ethan is more important. And when Ethan came, it was like a reality check. It was like, no, this child is what's important, not me, not how this happened. It was just a fuck. And it was a fuck because I was upset with my girlfriend. Like, I never wanted a relationship. I never wanted to be with you. I never wanted this to prolong itself out. Honestly, I didn't want a kid by you, but I just didn't want to have an abortion. So here we are. You need to understand it was a fuck, and I didn't want anything more, but I just carried this on because I just didn't want you to take my kid away. And at the time, we weren't fully stable. Like, we were living in a one-bedroom apartment, just basically trying to live and trying to exist. And so I was
to figure each other out still.
Right. And so I was like, I just don't want him to take our son away because this is our son. And anyone can come and take him away from us right now. This is how my mind was going.
I can understand. Yeah, completely.
Once I got over that fear, I blocked him on social media. I completely stopped talking to him, but gave him the opportunity to reach out with my wife, knowing that, you know, whether he wanted to communicate with Ethan. And once that happened, and I realized that he was a piece of shit anyway, still as a parent, like, he would reach out and then you wouldn't hear from him for like a year. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to remind him, because we both agreed that since he wanted to be a part of Ethan's life, he was going to send something, and he sends like a measly $200. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I would have to remind him to send the $200. My wife has now told me I can block him since Ethan is 16. So he has been blocked in my phone. But
now he communicates with Ethan directly. Yeah. Like, you can communicate with Ethan because Ethan needs to know who you are. Mm-hmm. We can't tell Ethan who you are. Like, you can. That's your job.
Yeah, I mean, you have a known donor here, right? So this person can be, right? And at some point, the kids start to ask. Like,
yeah,
my son, just this morning, he's 6, just was like, Mom, I'm sad. I was like, why? He goes, because, like, you know, Father's Day comes around and, like, I don't have a dad, right? Like, these things come up. And also, he was only saying that because somebody brought some shit up.
Right. Ethan has a good uncle. Her brother is a great uncle to him. Like, so I think that missing the whole actual father figure in the house,
he never really had
that, because since he was born, he's always come up to Maryland or spent time with his uncle and, you know, had that type of repertoire with some type of male figure in his life. And also with him playing sports, that kind of helps too, because he's able to have some type of male figure that's a positive influence in his life.
Did he have a relationship with him ever? No. Or it was really just kind of...
He has literally seen him twice or once.
One time when Ethan was two.
Yeah.
He came and he picked him up. He bought him a baseball bat.
And took him to Chuck E. Cheese.
And that was the last time that he actually physically have seen Ethan.
He's
physically
maybe talked to him on the phone here and there. And even now, when I ask Ethan about him, his responses are so short and so...
He was like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care.
So Ethan doesn't show real interest because
of
all these other wonderful influences he has. And he has you as beautiful parents. Yeah. And he's 16.
16.
Yeah.
It goes fast.
Oh my gosh.
But that's amazing. It's such a straight story, but it's not. Like, that's that you got a baby the straight way, but the whole time you were living that gay life.
The freeway. Like, then cost is a thing. Sorry to all those people who had to spend the money. We really do apologize, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. That happened at a time when we didn't have those resources. So, I mean.
True. That's why I said this is so serendipitous. Might have come at the wrong time. It might have took many. It might have been a real. Roller coaster.
Yes.
Getting to the place you're at right now. But you got there.
Yes.
And how are we doing with, like, honesty and the talking through things now? We're in a different place.
It's gotten better. I mean, we do have our times. I will say that about certain things, because when you're together for so long, me and my wife were actually just talking about this maybe night before last. Mm-hmm. What people don't understand is that when you're together for so long, you're individually growing. You're not just growing together, but you're growing separately. And you got to figure out how that's going to work inside the corporate marriage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to figure that out. It's like, I have these plans that I had before I met you, but I did put those plans aside because we have a family now. Now I'm picking those things back up and I want to do those things. Or it may not even be that. It may be things that you wasn't interested in. Maybe something as simple as food. You may not have liked caviar 2 years ago, but today you may wake up and be like, oh my God, I want to taste caviar. I have no idea why, but I do. You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to be able to understand that there's a change in your partner as well. And you have, and there's a growth, there's something that's different. And it's just like, do you want to be there to enjoy that transition in their life and see where it goes? Or do you want to just be like, oh, well, I don't like caviar. So you go ahead and you live your life eating your caviar.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't have to eat caviar. I can be there to watch her enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't have to, that doesn't mean I have to eat it. But I am here with you. To say, okay, that's where you want to go. I'm here and I'm going to be supportive in that.
I want to say this is so important because, you know, when you're in the thick of it, when the kids are little, there's no time. And people talk about this all the time. You know, you get to those later years and then you realize we have nothing in common anymore because we've grown apart, right? And it happens to us queer folks too.
Because marriage is work.
It is.
And this is constant transition every day. You know what I mean? It's, when you're like you said, you're so used to take care of the kids because they're young. That's your focus. Mm-hmm. Making sure that they're safe, making sure that they have what they need. Your brain is not thinking about your needs. Your brain is thinking about their needs. And it's just like, with our son being 16, he can cook for himself. He's home by himself. There's a lot of things that we almost got an empty nest, almost.
Almost empty nest.
In another year and a half, we'll be an empty nest. So, but he's so independent. He orders his own food. If he wants to eat out, he'll order it. He's that type of kid. So it's like now
it's like, what do we do? Like, we're so focused on us individually and us as a couple at the same time. Like, we got together in our 20s. So in our 20s, we were living life and just enjoying being free. And then we got to this point where we were parents, and for 16 years, we were focused on being parents. And now we're in our 40s and we're at this point like, okay, life is either going to pass us by, or mm-hmm. we're going to figure out who we are individually and figure out, like my wife said, who we are as a corporate, as an entity. So we yeah. have to navigate this thing together. We have to move together and understand that we're both going through perimenopause at this time.
That's a whole nother thing. You got right. two menopauses to get through.
Absolutely. Life is filled with swift transitions.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's really important that we do highlight this, because when you're in it, you think, oh, that won't be us. We're connecting, you know? And then you hear from everyone. Everyone talks about that empty nest thing when the kid's gone, and then you look at each other and there's a reckoning.
Yes.
And I'm afraid of that. And I think, no, that's not going to happen to us. We're connecting. But who knows, right? The whole idea of the empty nest.
Yeah. Thing.
And growing apart and not even realizing that it's happening. And then the need to, like, there is a real need to constantly connect. And how do you make sure you do that?
I always tell my wife, and she laughs at me when I say it, because I think she thinks it sounds arrogant when I say it. But the title makes us entitled. Just because this is my wife, I'm not entitled to just get comfortable. I'm not entitled. There's not entitlement on my behalf. Regardless mm-hmm. of how long that we've been together, I can't just be like, oh, I don't feel like doing my hair today. Or I feel like laying down and not washing up. Like, I can't let the title of what I have with her make it me feel like I'm entitled to do whatever it is that I want to do
right.
or act however I want to act. Mm. And as far as like the growth, like it's really about if you love that person enough. Like I can't sleep without my wife. Mm-hmm. I can't have her. I can't be in another state in a bed and feel like I can sleep without her. I can't sleep in a bed without her after all these years. I just can't. I need her there. Even if we're not speaking to each other, damn it, this is where the hell you need to sleep tonight. You just won't be talking to me.
There's no sleeping on the couch.
In the morning.
No, come out from the couch.
I don't want to talk tonight, but at least I know if I roll over and I do this, you're there. That's all that matters to me. And not only that, I enjoy, like, my wife, maybe when we first got together, she didn't really have strong self-esteem in who she was, like even in the way that she dressed or the way that she wanted to express herself. Mm. Me, I've always been, I'm going to wear what I want to wear. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, that's me. And my wife was always kind of like fearful of jumping out there and like being who she wanted to be. Mm. And like, I enjoy that now, like seeing that growth in her. I enjoy when we walk down the street and be like, oh my God, I like your outfit. Or like, you know, like, and that makes her feel better, because for so long, she felt so stifled on not wanting to be herself. And I think that also probably came with a lot of the arguments that could have came with the infidelity of things that I had some to do with, but didn't have anything to do with. So I enjoyed in her freedom of being who she is right now in her life and where she's going. Like, I really love that. So that's another reason why I stick around, because mm-hmm. I really want to see the growth. Yeah. And who she is, because she's like the caterpillar that turned into a butterfly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Aww. Like, she really is. So I enjoy watching that.
Like, what I'm hearing from you is like the appreciation needs to be there. You have to yes. appreciate your spouse. And I'm thinking in my head, I think my wife does a really good job of it, but I think I need to do better of appreciating. Like, she appreciates, she remembers to say, I love you. She remembers to say, thank you. Like, all the things, like in the texting about day-to-day shit, she'll say, thank you for taking care of that, babe. You know,
yes.
things like that, little things That's like that. Life. And then I'm like, oh my God, I don't have time for this. We both have to make an effort. I love you, Ann. She's listening right now at some point. Love you, man. But you know what I mean? We both parties have to make an effort. I think this is a piece of it. This Absolutely. Is at least one little nugget to keep on appreciating each other, even when
right. Absolutely.
When you're in the muck. Find yeah. something to appreciate and to vocalize
yeah,
or show. Exactly. However you show love, show yes. it. Keep yep. showing it, right?
That's you have to important. Keep showing up. I mean, one of the biggest things that my wife and I always say is, and our biggest quote is, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, who are you going to look for? Who are you going to need to be there with you?
Or trust.
Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to turn to? And at the end of the day, no matter what we go through, no matter what happens throughout the day, I have to see my wife's face. I have to touch her. I have to hear her voice. At the end of the day,
well, you know, what can I say?
She's the one that matters at the end of the day. So when everything is said and done, when whatever has happened, at the end of the day, that's who I want to be standing next to.
Yeah.
That's who I appreciate. That's who I want to spend the rest of my life with. And just as much as she enjoys my growth, I enjoy seeing her growth. I enjoy seeing my wife work. I enjoy seeing her communicate to people. There are things about my wife that I've learned in the last couple of years that I never really paid attention to because we were so focused on raising a child. When you're watching your partner grow, instead of, you know, condemning them for who they're growing into, learn about it. Even if you're not interested, find some type of
way to still have a conversation about it, engage into what they're growing into.
The message too that I just want to carry with me here that I'm hearing from your amazing story that had so many twists and turns that I was not expecting is that, you know, sometimes it takes that, you know, sometimes all that hardship can really create the diamond. If you will, there's a much better like way to say that, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like,
I mean, even hence us being here right now, like, and it's not even being arrogant, but we have gone through something that is a testament to people that are younger than us that may have gone, that may be going through it, so they can have some type of encouragement.
Yeah.
To see, oh, I can do it. Us being together this long is not very common.
And working through everything you worked through. I mean, you worked through some stuff. I don't know if I was in that position, if I could have worked through it the way you did. So, you know.
Absolutely. And see, that can be a testament to someone else. At first, we were a little apprehensive when we were younger, when it first happened.
Yeah.
We never wanted to talk about how Ethan came and all of the, and get into the details of it.
Yeah.
But that's just growth, too. Because again, somebody else can be going through that. It's just like, we got to learn how to be more transparent.
Yes.
And it's just like, people going to have to understand that we got through it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get through it, then we're a testament that you can. And if you can't, then that's okay too, if you can.
Right. And also, you know, once you have a kid, it's like so important to show up in pride for your kid, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you hide your story, then that sends a message to your kid too, right?
Exactly.
So. Absolutely.
I mean, we believe in just a lifestyle that we live alone. You have to show up as your true self every single day. You have to show up as genuinely who you are. And if you don't show up who you are, then that sends a different message. And, you know, that's not us. We firmly believe in showing up genuinely as who we are. And everybody may not understand it. Everybody may not get it, but it's who we are. It's our story. And if it can inspire somebody else, or help someone else grow and be a better couple or be a better unit or be better them, then there's different sides to our story. My wife has her feelings about our story. I have my feelings, and we have the feelings together. We can help people individually or together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm so glad you said yes and you're on the show. And I am so glad I heard your story. This was a fun one for me because I always say every single story is so unique, but I was not expecting the twists and turns we just went on.
So, yeah, we always seem to get them when it comes down to how Ethan came about. That's really like the twister right there, you know? It's just like, what? Wait a minute. Grab the tea, girl!
Grab the tea. That might have to be the name of this episode. Grab the tea! We're going on a journey. Oh my God. Thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
And everybody can really follow you at meet_the_Whitakers.
W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R-S.
Right?
Yes. So, that's us.
Yeah. Go follow them. Go check them out. Thank you. That was amazing.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Mwah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.